Have you ever wondered how some people diagnosed with diabetes manage to bring their HbA1c back to non-diabetic levels? I had been struggling with the blood sugar roller coaster for years. Although I tried the best I could, my A1c test result never ended up within the recommended range. But a few years ago, I received this package in the mail, and it changed everything. On the very same day, I applied my first continuous glucose monitor, aka CGM. This little sensor told me a lot about my diabetes. I realized that with the CGM on, I can bring my HbA1c down faster and more effectively than when I do anything else. And the best thing is, every diabetic can do it, no matter if you have type 1, type 2, or any other form of diabetes. So in this video, I'm gonna share with you a simple 10-step process to fix your A1c once and for all. Keep in mind that although I've lived with diabetes for over 35 years and helped hundreds of people to improve their blood sugar, I'm not a doctor. Nothing in this video should be considered medical advice. But let's get to the meat of this video and start with step number 10 to lower your HbA1c. See, I have a friend who was recently diagnosed with pre-diabetes. I showed him how to use a CGM, and about a month ago, he calls me and he says, "Tom, I found out that when I eat junk food, my blood sugar spikes to 300s. But when I make a home-cooked meal with some veggies, my blood sugar is just fine. So if I stay away from junk food, how long will it take for my HbA1c to improve?" Now, that's a great question, because when you as a diabetic go see a doctor, they don't just prick your finger and test your real-time blood sugar at that point in time, but they typically draw blood and run an HbA1c test as well, which will give them a snapshot of what your blood sugar has been over the past 3 months. So if you want to see a meaningful improvement to your A1c, you need to be prepared to commit and stay consistent for at least 60 to 90 days prior to your next A1c test. Now let's move on to step number 9. The A1c test result is simply a reflection of your average blood sugar over those 3 months. So if you want to improve your A1c, it's really helpful to understand what blood sugar levels you should target. Here is an example. If your A1c test result is 9%, it means that your average blood sugar has been around 212 milligrams per deciliter. And that's very high, by the way. You might want to bring it lower. Now, if your A1c test result is 8%, for example, your average blood sugar has been around 183 milligrams per deciliter. That's better, but not perfect, because the official A1c target set by the American Diabetes Association for anyone living with diabetes is less than 7%, which means that your average blood sugar over a 3 month period must be less than 155 milligrams per deciliter. But keep in mind that your current goal might be different depending on your specific situation and the recommendation of your healthcare professional. Them or you will need to set your personal target blood sugar. My personal A1C goal right now is to keep it at 5.5% or lower, which is an A1C of a healthy person. And that means that my target average blood sugar is at 112 milligrams per deciliter, and that's not easy to do. But as you can see on this screenshot from my CGM, during the last 7 days, I was at 116 milligrams per deciliter on average, a bit higher than what I'd like to see. And that means that I will need to work a bit harder in the coming weeks to get to my A1C goal. Moving on to step number 8. See, the easiest way to lower HbA1c is to improve overnight blood sugars. The reason is simple. Most people sleep about 7 to 8 hours a day, and that's about one third of the total time that counts towards your HbA1c result. So if you manage to keep your blood sugar at your target throughout the night, you're getting much closer to your HbA1c goal. By the way, the overnights might be scary if you're someone living with diabetes. But the best way to get rid of the fear of your blood sugar being too high or too low at night is to create a good evening routine that will keep your overnight blood sugar in check. Here's a few things that worked really well for me. Number one, I like to eat a light dinner with lots of fiber from vegetables, complex carbs from whole grains or legumes, and I always add some protein and healthy fats. I don't eat things like pizza, pasta with creamy sauce, or any sort of fried food, because these kind of meals would keep my overnight blood sugar elevated. Another thing that works really well for for me is to eat my dinner early, ideally before 7 p.m., and avoid late-night snacking. The reason why I do that is that I want to go to bed with stable blood sugar, around 100 milligrams per deciliter, and no active carbs or insulin in my bloodstream. And number three, if you inject insulin externally, it is important to take the right dose of your long-lasting or basal insulin, which will keep your blood sugar stable overnight. Now, if you use a CGM too, as you should, then it has low and high glucose alerts that can wake you up if something goes wrong. But I prefer to focus on fine-tuning my evening routine because I don't want the alerts to wake me up in the middle of the night. I want to sleep through the night and to wake up in the morning with my blood sugar somewhere between 80 and 120 milligrams per deciliter, energized from a good night's sleep. When I get an alarm in the middle of the night, it messes up with my sleep, and I get up tired in the morning, and that creates a whole lot of other issues for my blood sugar on the following day. But let's move on to the next step to lower HbA1c. A big reason why A1c of most diabetics is too high is that they're simply making bad food choices. But even if you feel you're one of them, it's not your fault, trust me. Because the standard American diet that many of us were led to follow is everything but diabetes friendly. The standard diet is very carb heavy, and carbs, as we all know, spike blood sugar, which leads to an elevated A1C. But here's a hot take. Carbs are not the only problem. The key problem is that the big food companies try to sell us the kinds of carbs and fats that are heavily processed. Most things you can buy in the store these days are toxic, although they are wrapped in a fancy looking package. Another problem created by the big food industry is that there are thousands of people on the internet who are promising to reverse your diabetes if you follow a specific diet. Eat low carb, eat no carbs, eat lots of carbs, eat low fat, eat no fats, eat lots of fats, eat only plants, but wait, get enough protein, eat more meat, eat only meat. But most of these people are usually pushing you their specific diet or meal plan because they want to sell you into a program or something of their own. I'm not selling any program that promotes a particular diet, and that's why I can simply tell you the truth. If you want to improve your HbA1c, just eat good foods. It's all there is. What made the biggest difference in my own blood sugar control was avoiding processed foods with added sugar, trans fats, and other artificial ingredients. I can still eat a balanced diet. I eat a lot of vegetables, legumes, and eggs. But I don't say no to a lot of good stuff I like. Things like the whole grain bread, fruits, lean meats, and dark chocolate, for example. I can absolutely eat those things and still keep my HbA1c low. Guys and girls, it's not rocket science. A home-cooked meal with some veggies is always better for your blood sugar than a meal from the McDonald's. It would be much harder for me to control my blood sugar and manage my HbA1c if I was eating in a fast food restaurant 5 times a week. But the key thing for me when it comes to food is I'm not necessarily limiting myself too much. I allow myself to eat some of the things that I like that I know are not 100% good for me. I just don't overdo it. Now I know what I'm doing can be challenging. Eating like me might still be a big transition for some of you. But if that's the case, try to think about the low-hanging fruit you can eliminate from your diet. The unhealthy things that you don't really like, maybe a coffee creamer, or maybe switch a normal chocolate for dark chocolate, something like that. Things that are easy for you. Take it step by step and you will get there. One thing that will definitely help you on your journey is learning how to read food labels. Always look for things that are higher in fiber, lower in sugar, higher in protein, have no added sugar, and are low in saturated fats or trans fats. These will spike your blood sugar less, and they will help improve your insulin sensitivity, which will help massively on your long-term way to better HbA1c. Moving on to step number 6. See, I coach a lot of people who live with diabetes. I do one-on-one with them. But the biggest issue almost all of them struggle with when they first reach out to me are massive post-meal blood sugar spikes. Their pre-meal blood sugar is usually not bad, often perfect, around 100 milligrams per deciliter. But an hour or two after eating, their blood sugar spikes to the moon. You see how that is a problem for your A1C if your post-meal blood sugar is hanging around 200s or 300s every time after you eat a meal. But don't worry, there are a few things you can do to fix this. And it it's not even that hard. Number one, each food has something called glycemic index, or GI. The higher the GI is, the faster your blood sugar spikes after eating that food. I need you to learn about GIs of the foods you like to eat the most, and try to pick more low GI foods whenever you can. Number two, start every meal with a veggie salad, or some proteins or healthy fats. If you absolutely can't live without high GI foods like starches, fruits or sweets, try to eat them at the end of your meal as a dessert. And number three, if you are seeing your post-meal blood sugar spiking by up to 60 milligrams per deciliter, it's probably not a big deal. Those kinds of spikes are normal. But if the spikes are by more than 60 milligrams per deciliter, something might be off, especially if you're someone injecting pre-meal insulin. Those big spikes might be a sign that you're taking your insulin too late, or that your insulin to carb ratio is off. Or you might be misestimating the carbs in your meal. If that's the case, you should definitely look into it and talk to your medical professional. Moving on to step number 5 on your way to lower HbA1c. A few years ago, I worked as a senior manager in one of the biggest public accounting firms. I was leading a team and I had quite a bit of responsibility. We were often working under a lot of pressure and strict deadlines. So as you can imagine, this was a very stressful job. And as someone living with diabetes, you might know that stress and blood sugar are not exactly the best friends. I could often see my blood sugar spiking to 200s or even 300s during the most stressful client meetings. I actually even started seeing a therapist because of my corporate job. But 2 years ago, I quit that job and I went full-time on my diabetes YouTube channel. This is a much more relaxed and fun job. I really enjoy it and I don't have to go to stressful meetings anymore. And the best thing is, when I made that change, a lot of the sudden, unpredictable blood sugar spikes just disappeared. I could actually see quite dramatic improvements to both my blood sugar levels and my HbA1c test results after I quit that stressful job. What I'm trying to say is that if you are trying to lower your HbA1c, anything you can do to reduce the stress levels in your daily life can help with that quite a bit. You don't necessarily need to quit your job like I did, but make sure to get a good night's sleep, include moments of meditation in your day, and don't hesitate to reach out to a mental health professional like I did. There's absolutely no shame in talking to someone. But let's move on to the next step to lower your HbA1c. A big reason why many people lose their battle with A1c is that they feel overwhelmed and they simply don't know where to start. And if you feel the same, I have a simple 5-minute routine for you that will change the game. I already told you that the number one thing for me that helped me improve my A1c was a continuous glucose monitor. And that's why I want you to get one and start using it today. Now, starting tomorrow, I want you to write down everything you eat, any physical activity you do, and the exact dose of any medication you take, especially insulin. Now, I want you to write everything down, but other than that, go about your day as usual. Don't change anything else. Now, at the end of the day, take 5 minutes to look at the graph from your CGM and put your notes from that day next to it. Your task during these 5 minutes is to identify the things that went well that you want to repeat. Maybe it was a morning run or a light early dinner. But you should also try to identify those things that didn't go so well that you might want to change. Maybe you underestimated the amount of carbs and fats in that burger with fries you had for lunch. The best thing about this 5-minute review is that it works for everyone, a complete beginner or an experienced diabetic pro. I try to do this review as often as I can, and these 5 minutes is simply the best invested time of my day. I'm sorry guys and girls, but I have to jump in here because something super annoying just happened to me. I was taking off my jacket, and as I was pulling the sleeve down, I ripped out my CGM sensor, and I hate when that happens. But it was my fault, because I didn't have a skin grip patch on to keep that sensor extra secured. This kind of accident never happened to me with a skin grip on. That's why I love to use them to protect my CGM, especially on the days when it's warm outside or when I'm more physically active. They make patches for all Freestyle Libre and Dexcom CGM models, and you can get them in different colors, including skin tone and clear. Plus, they have new collections coming out this summer. If you want to try them out, use the link below or code Type1Talks and you'll get 10% off. Thank you, SkinGrip, for making this video possible. But let's move to the next step on your journey. Number 3. This one will require more than 5 minutes minutes of your time, and it will definitely not be easy. But if you stick to it, it will be a game changer for you, I promise. See, the key reason why most people struggle with elevated A1C is that they are insulin resistant. And no matter what kind of diabetes you have, the more insulin resistant you are, the more insulin your body needs to keep the blood sugar under control. Now, if you are a type 1 diabetic like me, your body doesn't produce any insulin and you need to inject all that insulin externally. If you are a pre-diabetic or a type 2 diabetic, your body might still produce insulin, but the more insulin resistant you are, the harder your body needs to work to produce that insulin. And if you put it under too much pressure, it will ultimately fail and stop producing insulin altogether, and you will need to inject it externally. But that's not a good situation to be in, because we want our body to work as a well-oiled machine, consuming the minimum amount of insulin it can and keep the blood sugar in the optimal range at the same time. So we don't want to be insulin resistant, we want to be insulin sensitive. And the most effective tool to improve your insulin sensitivity is regular exercise. Whenever I work out, I can see an increase in my insulin sensitivity and my blood sugar starts dropping. I can clearly see it on my CGM graph. And this insulin sensitive state can last anywhere between 2 hours for up to 2 days, depending on what kind of exercise I do. When I go for a run or a walk, my blood sugar starts dropping within minutes, the absolute fastest way to get that blood sugar down. But when I lift weights, my blood sugar doesn't start dropping right away. Sometimes it takes longer for the insulin sensitivity to kick in, but it always does at some point. I usually see a drop in my blood sugar during the night or even the day after the strength workout. That's why it's important for me to exercise regularly, at least every other day, to stay insulin sensitive. I try to avoid getting into that insulin resistance phase, which usually comes after 2 days of no physical activity. Now, if you are really serious about improving your HbA1c, you don't want to miss the next step. Number two. See, I read countless articles and watched many videos from other creators who are sharing their tips on how you can lower your HbA1c. And what I find absolutely crazy about all those videos and articles is that most of these people are trying to sell you their own blood sugar supplements. Like our YouTube friend here who got recently busted by the FDA after they found prescription drugs in these natural supplements. But you don't hear any of these experts talking about something that is way more important. The thing is, we all need a good reason to start working hard, to get our blood sugars in check, and to finally lower our HbA1c. Because it's not an easy thing to do, and supplements on their own are not gonna get you there. But once you find the real reason why you want to do this, once you find your why, it gets a lot easier to follow all the other steps I talked about in this video. And when you do that, you will be able to hit your HbA1c goal and maintain it for the years to come. So think about what your why is. Why do you want to improve your HbA1c? Put it in the comments under this video. I will put my why there as well, so go check it out. I hope that we will be able to inspire and motivate one another. But let's move on to step number one. If you feel down right now, if you don't feel like doing it, you're not the only one. There are hundreds of millions of us all over the world living with some form of diabetes, and we all struggle sometimes. That's why, in my experience, the number one step to improve our blood sugar, improve our A1C, but also improve the overall quality of life with diabetes is connecting with someone who gets it. And connecting with someone who will support you when you need it. I try to do that in every video I put out on this channel, but I know it's not enough. It's always better to have a real life face-to-face interaction with someone. And that's why I'm excited to let you know that I'm creating a place for you where you can get that. The Blood Sugar Academy. A place for you to learn from me, ask questions, and connect with other diabetics. The goal of this program is to help you gain confidence around your blood sugar management in your real life day-to-day situations. Now, the Blood Sugar Academy will launch in the coming month for the first group of 10 to 20 people. It will be a small group. So if you want to be one of them, click the link below and sign up, register your interest. I will be sure to share more information with you once the program is launched. The thing is, if you really want to live a full life with diabetes, improving your HbA1c is just one step on this journey. But if you're really serious about it, I have another 30 blood sugar hacks for you in the video right here. So click it and watch it next. I will see you there. Ciao.